Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Good morning to Dr. Bryce Edwards from Victoria University. Are you there, mate?
Yes, hi, Johnny.
Now, we have got a huge story which has just been published on RNZ this morning. An RNZ investigation which has revealed how multinational dairy companies have successfully lobbied the New Zealand government to abandon stricter regulations for baby formula. These standards were designed between New Zealand and Australia over 11 years with the idea to prioritise infant nutrition and mislead and also address misleading marketing claims, and they've been abandoned because of multinational companies lobbying the government.
Yeah, so this story has been in the public over the last few years, and we finally had a decision by the Associate Minister of Agriculture, Andrew Hoggart, back in August last year. But the story today on RNZ, on the website by Anusha Bradley, gives us a lot more detail of what happened behind the scenes. And so she's done lots of interviews with officials and used Official Information Act requests to find out how the industry, so the dairy companies, used lobbyists and lobbying to change the mind of the government and get them to go against what the government departments had been working on for 11 years. And so the government, under Andrew Hoggard, essentially decided to opt out of these new rules that would be regulate our New Zealand, how it promotes or labels its milk formula that it exports overseas. So this is a multi-billion dollar industry, and the corporate players didn't want essentially these strong rules that meant they couldn't kind of advertise the milk saying it was going to do all these special things that they couldn't really back up.
Yes.
So it was a bit like plain packaging for tobacco, but for milk, to make it a lot more sort of reliable for customers.
So in a nutshell, we have prioritised economic, economic value over the health of infants?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sums it up quite well. So, I mean, it's certainly the economic profits of these dairying companies have been prioritised. They would argue that what they do is good for the New Zealand economy, and they would argue that by not having these rules, they're able to continue to operate in New Zealand because they were threatening basically to shift to other countries to do this and shift all these jobs overseas. So it was kind of, they used that leverage against the government.
And now, how transparent is the lobbying industry in New Zealand, and what measures are in place to ensure accountability to prevent undue corporate influence, which it just sounds like has been rife in this case?
Yeah, well, I think there's quickly escalating concern around the world about lobbying and the power of business in getting governments to change their policies to benefit the rich, if you like. And in New Zealand, we're way behind in some of those debates, so we don't actually have any regulation really of lobbyists at all. And there's been some attempts to do that over the years, but it's always met with opposition or disinterest, really. So other countries have like a register of lobbying. So if you're lobbying on behalf of or whoever, you need to fill out this register and say who you're lobbying for, etc., and some basic details. We don't have that. That's really common in other countries. We don't have that.
So we've got very a low bar as far as regulations for lobbying practices in Aotearoa.
Very low bar, yes.
Oh,
I mean, we have the Official Information Act, and we have the ability to find out a little about what's happening in government, but even some of that is a bit useless. So, for example, in the case of Andrew Hoggart, one of the people lobbying was his sister. So his sister works for one of the dairy industry groups, DCANS it's called, I think it's Dairy Companies of New Zealand, and she is one of the major lobbyists and, you know, has been pushing for the government to drop these regulations, and she was successful and was, you know, really lobbying her own brother, and there's nothing where he had to, you know, have that conflict of interest sort of managed publicly or deal with that, so we never knew that was the case, whereas other countries that would be kind of illegal.
Well, I mean, what sort of impact in other areas do corporate donations and lobbying have on policy decisions? And what impact can this have on public trust and the political process?
Oh, big questions there, Johnny. We just don't know the answer to the first question because everything's so opaque. Yeah. But, you know, we have occasional, journalistic insights, you know, investigations that reveal just how often corporates and lobbyists get their way and influence these things. I think it has huge power. I've studied this a fair bit, and I don't think the public understands just how much lobbying is a big part of the decision making of any government, regardless of whether it's the current National led one or a Labour led one. Mm. But the second question is the public trust in this. Yeah, we're already living in a time of quite severe discontent. Yes. We're seeing this around the world, but also in New Zealand, where the public really is losing faith in the political process. They are disengaging a lot more, not voting, and not really believing that the political process translates to public will very well. And so you end up having lots of reactions, against this situation that we're seeing around the world, whether it's enthusiasm for people like Bernie Sanders. He's doing a big tour of the US at the moment called Fight Oligarchy. Or you're seeing people on the right, populists on the right, obviously people like Trump, all sorts of things in other countries where you've got politicians that are saying, well, the system's broken, here's my answers, and we're going to fix things. Mm. And so you've seen a lot of, I guess, populism from left and right, which I'm not saying is all bad, but it is, it's a whole new game that we've got in politics now.
In August last year, I think we may have touched on the release of this Helen Clark Foundation report from August. I think it was titled "A Shining a Light on Improving Transparency in New Zealand's Political and Governance Systems." That report highlighted concerns about political corruption and calls for stronger regulations. And the author identified a few vulnerabilities in lobbying, political donations, access to official information, foreign bribery, and corporate ownership transparency in Aotearoa. But they had a few recommendations, like regulating lobbying, capping political donations, establishing a beneficial ownership registry, and strengthening anti-corruption laws in an effort to restore trust in decision-making. Do you think the likelihood of any of these recommendations coming, would any of them come to fruition in the next couple of political terms?
Oh, great question. It's really hard to know, isn't it? Because on the one hand, it's not in the interests of governments necessarily to make these reforms. Certainly the current government...
Because they can get donations?
Exactly. They rely on lobbyists for a lot of their information, and they're close with industry. But
we saw it not long ago with all the tobacco reform, didn't we?
Yes. Oh, look, it was a very overt example of it, absolutely. Yeah. But even other governments prior to this one have been close to lobbyists. There might be some hope that the next Labor-led government might do some of these things, and certainly Chris Hipkins was making noises before he lost power about regulating lobbyists, but I think they will need to be very much pressured by the public to do so. I don't think they'll do it particularly willingly. Because yes, it is cutting off sources, especially of funds for the politicians. There needs to be more campaigning, I think, reforms.
Is this on everyday New Zealanders to do this campaigning, or is it up? Where do we begin this process of making change?
Hopefully everyday New Zealanders are starting to, be so discontented with the status quo and of, some people having outsized influence on politics, that they'll start demanding that. I think we need it from civil society in terms of interest groups and academics and the media. You and me, sort of highlighting these things.
Okay.
But there is a few groups that are coming together on Monday next week, launching a new campaign at the University of Auckland. I think it's 5:30 p.m. Monday night. Helen Clark Foundation, Transparency International New Zealand, and one other group, the Health Coalition Aotearoa, launching a Leveling the Lobbying Playing Field campaign, where they're calling for some of those things. And, with my own, I've got a group that, a think tank, if you like, that I've recently established, the Integrity Institute. We're doing some of that work as well.
Yes. This RNZ piece just highlights, I know we said this at the very start, but, they've put economic outcomes ahead of health outcomes for infants, which just seems so crazy. And we've been down this path before, with infant formula in Africa, with what was it, Nestle and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so we can see
the history here.
The history's here. I can't believe it's just repeating itself. It's crazy.
Yeah, and so maybe this will be the sort of lightning rod, if you like, to get people to realise, just how these processes work.
Yeah.
There's a lot of minutiae behind the scenes that might not be. That report on RNZ is quite long and detailed, but yes, the way you've just talked about it very nicely encapsulates it.
Yes, yes. I guess one last question. We were going to cross off the supermarkets, but I think we're going to run out of time. Just back on the infant formula, how do you think, New Zealand really trades on its international reputation, how do you think our decision to create its own infant formula standards impacts the country's reputation on the global stage?
I don't know. I'm not sure to what extent people
really think about it.
I don't know. But it certainly does. New Zealand deserves a black mark for it, and we deserve all we get if people do start criticising New Zealand. It's a bit like, I don't know, do you remember 10 years ago, New Zealand was advertising these big, promotional campaigns, clean, green, 100% pure New Zealand, and people started to say, is this actually true? Isn't New Zealand actually got some environmental problems with its waterways and all sorts of things? And it ended up being a bit of a rebounder in New Zealand.
Yes.
And New Zealand can no longer kind of advertise itself as clean, green. And it's the same with this sort of thing, I think.
Okay, we had a few texts come through. Someone saying young folk need to vote. Someone else is saying we need to call it what it is, bribery, not lobbying, make it illegal. And someone else said lobbyists in New Zealand get their own parliamentary swipe card and back entrance so they don't have to face public or press in the front.
Yep, all those things are true.
All of those things are true. Okay, all right. Well, watch the space, people. Holy moly. Okay, hey, Dr. Bryce Edwards from Victoria University, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning. We'll look forward to speaking with you in a couple of weeks, and obviously there is going to be more news in this space in the coming weeks with the meeting next Monday at the University of Auckland.
Yes.
All right.
Thanks, Johnny.
Cheers, dude. Okay, bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.